Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue today to talk about a really exciting theme. That is the call that each one of us have, those who are baptized into Christ, to be prophets. As I mentioned in the program yesterday, we're all called to be priests, prophets, and kings. We're sharing in these dimensions of Jesus' own life and ministry, and they're expressed differently in different ways in the body of Christ within the church. As I said, you have the reality of the priesthood itself, the institutional priesthood of bishop and priest, and the sacramental life of the church. It's a unique part of the body in which the priest is another Christ. He stands in the person of Christ, and he offers sacrifices, and he helps the people, the priestly people of God, rightly order our sacrifices to God, to help us make a communal, united offering of our lives. And they're teaching and instruction and giving the sacramental life, equip and strengthen us to help do that, to help make that offering of our lives. And also mentioned yesterday, talking about the kingship that we share in, which is we're given governmental responsibilities. That is, the bishops have the highest, you know, form of government in the life of the church. Priests have, this is the institutional church that they govern. And they teach us, they form us, the rest of it. But also, those who are baptized into Christ have a sharing in bringing the kingdom of God into whatever circumstance we have responsibility. Like the fundamental one is the vocation of marriage, is one main one, obviously, raising our kids and making our home a place where the Lord is welcome, where kids are raised in the way of the Lord and to walk in the way of the Lord, and we exercise teaching and formation and discipline in the right. And so we govern our homes. We have authority from God to be able to do that. There's other ways that's also exercised in people's lives. But the third one is the role of prophet. And I think it's the one that is most difficult for people to see and understand themselves. And so I decided this week to just talk about the whole prophetic role in the history of Christianity, touching on dimensions of it, looking at Jesus's life. And what you find is that most people that encountered Jesus in the New Testament at that time spoke about him as a prophet. And they had reasons for that, because he sounded like, he looked like, he did things that the prophets of the Old Testament did, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and others. But also, he communicated all that through speaking and ministering, exercising actually spiritual power at different times in his life. And there was a way of speaking that characterized him that felt so much like the Old Testament apostles. I thought it'd be good to take a look today at some of the ways in which the Old Testament prophets thought, how they spoke, and then we'll look again at how people experienced Jesus, and then what that has to do with our lives. Because those were obviously unique roles, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and the rest at that time. But there's a wonderful book called The Prophets by Rabbi Abraham Heschel, where he describes in different ways what the prophets are like. You can see maybe as I read some of these that you can see the dimensions of some of this being expressed in the life of Jesus. He said that to the prophets, the things that horrify prophets are daily occurrences around the world. This is from Amos chapter 8, verses 4 through 6. The things that horrify the prophets are daily occurrences around the world. Think about it today, the prophetic voices in the church that are speaking so clearly about the spiritual conflict, the spiritual battle that's around us. You know, my good friend Ralph Martin in his book, Church in Crisis, it's a prophetic book, really. It's a prophet speaking. It's a person speaking, not making a prediction about the future, but he's reading. Part of what prophets do is they read the signs of the times. They read what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. And Heschel goes on, and I made a list of these because I think he's right on, and I just find them interesting. He said, prophets grow indignant over things that we become accustomed to. Think about that. Look at how our culture, for example, has become accustomed to abortion. And the prophetic voices in the church that have been so strong continue to be strong, and even more voices are being raised up in this time. Prophets cannot become accustomed to what the world wants us to become accustomed to if it's inconsistent with God's righteousness and God's plan. So thanks be to God for prophets. They can be a little annoying at times maybe and difficult to be around, but but they really do serve an amazingly powerful purpose in the body of Christ. He says, the prophet's ear is attuned to a cry that is imperceptible to others. The prophet's ear is attuned to a cry that is imperceptible to others. They can pick up, like really the heart of Jesus, I think, the heart of God in the disorder, in the cultures, the pattern of life, in the compromise of the church. They're definitely not compromisers. They're not politicians. Prophets just can't do that because they're perceiving things in light of God, in light of the holiness of God. Another expression is, to many people, the world is serene. In the prophet's eye, the world reels in confusion. Another thing you see, sometimes I wonder myself, like so many people just seem to be settled into the world, the pattern of the world, and what's ever there. Like even now, in the madness that's unfolding in our culture, the whole deconstruction of family life, what it means to be human, human identity, 78 genders or whatever it is. It's amazing. All kinds of people just kind of, yeah, settle into it. And it's the next thing and no problem with it at all. A prophet can't do that. He understands, she understands the implications of what's underneath it all and the spiritual conflict that's there. The prophet has a vision for the end. Others are intoxicated with the here and the now. This one's very important. I think it's very true. You know, the scripture's clear. It says, you know, think often about your end. Think often about your death, and you'll gain wisdom. You'll understand the shortness of life, and you'll understand that your life is heading towards something, and that you're going to die. And then there will be a judgment. You'll be held accountable. And so the prophet has an eternal perspective, especially those who are in Christ. We know where human history is going. We know the consequences. But there's something in the human heart, and for many people, they don't want to think about that. It's like, I don't want to think about my end. I don't want to think about death. I mean, what a buzzkill. I want to eat, drink, and be merry, man. I want to get after it here. And I don't want to do anything that would slow me down or discourage me. And for the prophet to know the end and think about the end is not discouraging at all. It's to say everything about the end is related to how we live now and the perspective that we're walking in. Another description he uses, Rabbi Heschel, says the prophet's prominent theme is exhortation, not prediction. The primary task is to declare the word of God in the here and the now, and to disclose the future to enlighten the present. It's very good. This is very important. It is true. Most people, when they think of prophet, it means he's in the business of predicting. That's not really true. Even in the New Testament, the teaching about the prophetic and the exercise of the spiritual gift of prophecy is meant to be for people's upbuilding, for their encouragement, for their consolation. And I think exhortation is also regularly seen as a part of it, different ways. But it's not mainly about predicting the future. Now, that can happen occasionally with people who have either the Lord is just using them in the moment, that is, they're open to the Lord and they're alive in Him and they're mature in Christ, and He gives them a word to speak, a prophetic word, and they speak it. But it's mostly about bringing strength to the body of Christ, the role, the New Testament role of the prophet. But here, he reminds us of something that was clearly present in the life of Jesus. Jesus' teaching was full of exhortation. He made some predictions, like the fall of Jerusalem and things. But he was concerned. He warned people. He exhorted people. He brought conviction to people. But he also brought tremendous encouragement and consolation in his mercy. So the primary task, again, Heschel here, the primary task is to declare the word of God in the here and the now. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He said he brought the truth. He spoke a word. He spoke about the kingdom. He proclaimed the kingdom of God, which means the rule of God and the reign of God, and to disclose the future in light of the present. That's what Jesus did. He spoke very clearly about the coming of the kingdom of God and what it meant in the judgment day and the reality of the narrow way and the wide way. Jesus spoke about all kinds of things that consistently brought people back to understanding our end and what's coming in the future, that will give us understanding and open our minds to what's unfolding here in the present. Another line from the rabbi. For the prophet, man's coexistence with God determines the course of history. It's the most important human relationship. And the prophets are always calling the people of God back to remembering who are you and what makes you unique, and what's of greatest value is your union with God and walking with God. And just what Jesus said, the greatest and the first thing is to seek first the kingdom of God and his way of holiness. He said the first great commandment to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength is literally the first and greatest and most important thing anybody can know and walk in on the planet. Another reference says, the prophet's ear is toward the Lord and his eye is to the contemporary situation. So that's again what Jesus did and the prophets do. They understand what's going on in the contemporary situation and they get God's mind on it. In other words, just a way of expressing that the prophet has their ear toward God because God speaks. God speaks to them and helps them understand and see and know what he thinks, because the prophet stands in the counsel of the Lord. Amos 3:17, surely the Lord God does nothing without revealing his secrets to the prophets. The task of prophetic thinking is to bring the world into divine focus. That's a really good one. Always reminding everybody, this whole thing is about God. The whole of reality is about God. Made by God, made for God, expresses God, glorifies God. And the prophet sees it, can't sleep, can't stop thinking about it. The prophet experiences fellowship with the feelings of God, sympathy with the divine pathos. He hears God's voice. She feels his heart. That's beautiful. Thank God for the prophetic ministry. But in the Old Testament, he goes on to say, Rabbi Heschel, he said, prophets are considered imbalanced and abnormal and often lonely people. He said, Amos 5:10, they hate him who reproves at the gate. They abhor him who speaks the truth. That's really true. It was a true then. It's true now. Jeremiah 15:17, I sat alone because thy hand was upon me, Lord. That's worth meditating on, those of you out there who have that prophetic heart, the way God works in your life. Prophet's duty, Ezekiel puts it this way, chapter 2, verse 1, speak to people whether they hear or whether they refuse. Isaiah 58:1, the prophet declares to Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. And Jesus said he did the same thing, and that's why people hated him, because he revealed their sin. He communicated it. Jeremiah 2:19, this is something that the current state of the world and the church, it's worth listening to Jeremiah here, the great prophet. He said, your wickedness will chasten you and your apostasy will reprove you. Know and see that it is evil and bitter for you to forsake the Lord your God. The fear of me is not in you, says the Lord. Wow. It's an evil and bitter thing to forsake the Lord. Look how many people are forsaking the Lord and they don't even know it. Their consciences are seared. Their minds are darkened. They think they're walking in the light. Jesus said, if darkness is your light, how blind will you be? And here's the clear seeing prophet. It's really evil and bitter to forsake God, to reject him. And the reason we do it, he said, is there's no fear of God in you. Therefore, there's no wisdom. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. God bless you, friends. Hope you can tune in tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.